What's up, everybody? My name is Preston Murray. I played point guard on the basketball team and corner on the football team at Damascus High School, and now I play football at Georgetown University. I really believe that Lead 'Em Up helped the bond on both teams in high school become much stronger and allow the natural-born leaders to step up, as well as maybe people who usually don't see themselves as leaders. Our basketball team kind of struggled in the past, but my senior year we made the regional championship, and I truly believe that Lead 'Em Up played a major role in our success because when times would get tough, Lead 'Em Up gave us the tools to be successful in those hard times. From doing Lead 'Em Up, I personally learned that to be a true leader, you have to put your teammates and the overall success of the team before yourself and your own stats. I'll never forget the energy that Adam brought to every session and the memories and laughs I shared with my team during Lead 'Em Up.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm so excited. One of my good friends and someone I've talked a lot about on social media, and I believe we even did a Lead 'Em Up kind of special coaches session exclusive about a year and a half ago. I'm excited to be joined by my friend Adam Harrington, assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets. Coming all the way from California. Adam, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So good to see you. Thanks for having me on again. I'm really excited to talk to you about a few things.
Yeah, you know, I always appreciate your approach. Always appreciate your mindset, your heart. And from a leadership standpoint, it has been clear that over the years, you are able to just get the most out of people. Okay. And I think you do it in a unique way. So I certainly want to dig into some of your thoughts there from a leadership standpoint. But before I do, man, I want to, you know, celebrate a couple things on your plate that you have going on in your life. You know, you've got a large kind of nonprofit that you're hosting a big event for. We're going to talk about that at the end, because what you've got coming up here in the next couple of weeks is huge. But in the meantime, you just launched a facility. It's called the Clubhouse. It's based out of New Jersey. I've been watching it unfold over social media and grow and evolve. And now you got weights in there. You got all this stuff, right? Like the walls are sponsored out and stuff. Man, tell us about this new facility, what it's all about, what inspired it, who's it available for, and like what's going on with the Clubhouse?
Yeah, obviously it's an exciting time. We got going last December. COVID kind of put a wrench in some of the plans and the timing and everything. But to be honest, you know, I have four kids, you know, three boys and a little girl. And I drive in, and I live in New Jersey, work in Brooklyn. We all know the commute in New York City can be a monster. So, you know, there were times I was getting home and then, you know, hey, I'm trying to find a gym, you know, to bring my boys, my oldest Jaden or any of the boys to get a workout. And I'm having to drive another 45 minutes and, you know, be in the gym for an hour and a half, then another 45 minutes back. And I just was like, man, I need to find my own space that I can build out. I'm willing to pay whatever. This will be my country club, my clubhouse, you know, but I needed it 20 minutes away. And part of the reason, selfishly, I just didn't want to be in the car as much anymore. And it allowed me more time with my family and more time with the other kids that weren't particularly going to work out that day. So I had been looking, and I partnered with another dad who's obviously coached my son and I've been good friends with since we moved to the area. He was in commercial real estate, so I was smart there. That was my GM in me to find somebody that could help there. But we had been looking, and as you can imagine, in real estate in the tri-state area is just hard to come with the right amount of space and then obviously the right amount of price. But we got lucky in Orange, New Jersey, right down the road. And I came in with this other dad, and it was really just a dad that two dads that had a vision of building a place where their kids could flourish. And it's a play off those who are planted will flourish. We just really excited to partner with some of the brands that I've always had relationships with, because we want to do some community stuff with it and just offer kind of high level training and programs for the surrounding area that that aren't really out there right now. So that's kind of the heart behind that vision.
So is it going to be available to the public like coming soon?
Yeah, we're working on, we obviously have some trainings and some clinics going on now. It's kind of full circle. I've obviously had some trainers that I trained when I first stopped playing that are now training my kids. And so it's really exciting to see 10 years later that they're running programs that I ran when I stopped playing professionally. It's a private place. One of the reasons we built it was to always have it. My schedule is crazy in the NBA world. And when I got back or I had an opportunity to be in the gym with my kids, I didn't want to be like, oh man, there's Adam Bradley in there with another men's league. I can't use the gym. So we aren't renting it out.
But boy, he is hooping. But boy, yeah. Adam Bradley is hooping though.
We aren't renting it out all the time just because our schedules are crazy. But yeah, we're excited to do some really cool things in there, some feeder programs, some things that I think are really, really important, teaching basketball kind of the right way from the start at young ages, first and second grade. So, and a lot of surrounding communities don't really have programs for that. So I just remember how it was for me when I was young and the feeder programs and how everybody was involved in that. So we wanted to do that as well. And luckily it benefits my family as well.
Well, all those hoop coaches in and around the tri-state area, keep your eyes and ears open because there could be some opportunities at the clubhouse in the future with different things. But, you know, you talked a couple times about your sons and being able to give them an opportunity to put in the work and train and things. And I want to take some time and talk about your oldest, Jaden, right? Because it's been incredible to watch him not just grow physically, right? He's certainly getting tall. Yeah. But from a skill set perspective, I mean, he's looking like a beast, but even beyond that, like it appears that there's this incredible commitment to work, this work ethic that's already there. How old is he by chance?
14.
14. Okay. So yeah, I want to ask you because you've spent your life in player development and now you're essentially part of the process. I know there's other individuals involved of your son developing as a basketball player. And I think from an athlete standpoint, you know, what parameters, how do you know how much work to put in from a development standpoint? Like, when do you know, like, okay, I've done it, right? Like, because I feel like there's always this urge to, like, keep doing more. There can always be more.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know he's putting in work, but how do you balance, like, hey, this is a good amount of work. This is appropriate. You're good if you do this and, like, move with confidence accordingly.
Yeah, that's the tough. I'm going to be honest. I probably don't have the answer, Adam. It's the hardest thing. The hardest person I've ever had to train or develop player wise has been my son. And I'll be the first to admit it is not easy. It's very difficult. I'm very tough on Jaden. I'll say it right now. We're very privileged. We have a lot of access to a lot of things. And Jaden, since he was 7 days old, he flew to Croatia. I had a job in Zagreb, Croatia, and he's been in the basketball world ever since. So, but we just, I think the thing that I've tried to do the best is to get him very well-rounded. So I don't think there's obviously physically limitations to what you can do in a day. And always I'm old school. I would have played all day long on concrete, you know, and I have to bite my tongue even saying, look at what we built for you. I was flipping the ball out to myself. Now we have a $10,000 Dr. Dish machine and we got all these things, but we're very thankful and grateful for that. So I sometimes have to fight my old school mentality, my old school spirit to be, I want it to be even tougher and for him to want it even more. And so I've battled a lot of long talks with my wife at night that I might have to take a different approach or whatever. And each one of my kids is different. My 9-year-old's wired more like me and he is just always going to do that, where Jaden is very structured. Love if you put him in a schedule like you have from 8 to 9 to whatever 9, like he'll dominate it there. Where he struggles now is if he had 3 hours of free time, like, you know, you could go do that by yourself. Or do you realize that you've worked with some of the best trainers in the world and you're telling me DJ Sackman didn't give you anything that you can do in your driveway right now? So we battle that. But where I'm going with it is that, you know, I think there's some things that player development wise that you can consistently be working on. And I think a lot of young kids don't watch enough full basketball games. So we're in this social media highlight, hoops, mixtape, all that stuff. And you see a lot of that stuff. But I wanted Jaden and I want my boys to really understand the game. So there's been three things always. Like, I feel if you can shoot the basketball, you can play on any basketball court. It's one of the most necessary, if not the most necessary skill in the game. If you can handle the basketball and just be comfortable on a basketball court, you can play anywhere. You can go in any park, any gym. To me, the biggest thing though, this day and age that's missing is understanding how to play basketball. And imagine how many kids walk into gyms or settings or first time tryouts and don't understand terminology, don't understand spacing and all that stuff, offensively and defensively. So I've really tried to take all the ways where I think my son might walk into a gym and have any doubt, or any reservation, any fear. I try to work on those every single day. And that's obviously skill set. That's obviously his body. But the biggest thing missing, Adam, is understanding the game of basketball. And I think a lot of kids lack confidence. And when they go to a tryout or they go to a new team or whatever it is. And I think that that's one of the things I've tried to very well, as we do all of our players, but is Jaden really understanding the game of basketball and knowing where to be and how to play.
And how does a 13, 14 year old youth early high school basketball player learn to play, learn the game, right? Like, I know you mentioned watching the game. Is it really that simple of just watching the game? Do they need to, like, you know, dig into film? Do they need to have an expert kind of coaching them throughout the whole thing? Or is it a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything. Like I said, Jaden's obviously, we have access to all the film, and obviously I'm able to do things and we have people helping us. But I think the biggest thing is there has to be somebody guiding them. And I think we might talk about this later, to be honest, but just these high school programs working with their feeder programs, I think there's a big gap there sometimes and a lack of communication. But for instance, you know, Jaden played on his local school, his Glen Ridge team. Gets to handle the ball a lot more, ball dominant, can do a lot of things. So his workouts and tailored and kind of film breakdown would be different for that setting. So we work on that. You're handling the ball more. You're going to play pick and roll. Okay. You're going to push the pace, whatever this is. You're going to come off this screening action. When Jaden played recently with the New York Lightning program in the Bronx, you know, it was a whole different, he went from being Kyrie Irving handling the basketball in Glen Ridge to being Joe Harris with the New York Lightning. So it was a whole different player development plan. So now we had to find, you're going to be off the ball. You're going to be playing with space. You have to find these windows. You have to relocate here. When the pick and roll happens this, you got to lift to this. I mean, it just became a whole thing. So we would focus our workouts based on whatever he was going to play into that. And it just overall gained his confidence and knowledge of the game. So in the moment I could say, hey, Jaden, you know, this, now you're off the ball, but this is what you should be looking for when you do have the ball. Like, now you're playing that guy. So now it's overall hopefully helps him become a better leader, a better communicator, because he fully understands the game and can work it out that way.
You know, one of the other things I've been impressed as I've watched from a distance, you and Jaden and company, is you keep talking about this all around, this overall, this well-rounded. And like, I think back to the image of him sitting down on a computer, watching a Gino Auriemma video with a piece of paper and a pen. Do you remember this? Taking notes. Like, I love that, right? Because I think, you know, you think there's things missing and there are things missing. One of the things I think oftentimes is missing is this intentional effort to develop the right mindset and the right character. We always say character, who we are, leadership, what we do, right? But we need to possess the right character in order to reach our full potential. And I don't think we spend a lot of time with that. We just so focus on the doing, that we don't stop and think about our own personal growth. So I love that you had him do that. And I get the sense that you sprinkle those in from time to time to make sure the mind is right, his character is shaping and forming. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jaden, I'll be honest on here, is the sweetest kid. He's experienced stuff, like I said, since he was 7 days old, living in this world, and been very fortunate to be around some of the best of the best, and the way he communicates and understands it. But we always say you can only give so much. So me as a coach, me as a trainer, I can only give so much. You know, the encourager needs to be filled up himself. And same with the athletes. You can only give so much where you need to refresh yourself. You need to get a different perspective shift sometimes, or see things like that. And then, you know, I've tried to take all my kids on the journey with me. You know, in this coaching world, for all of us coaches, they can be long days, it can be long hours, it can be stressful filled situations. I mean, I just went through the first playoffs, holy smokes, whole different level. But I tried to take them on the journey and realize and have them realize what we're trying to do in the other people's lives. And really at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. So really saying, hey, we're trying to get this person to this situation and this person to get this skill level in the game and stuff. So I've really enjoyed bringing them along, and they care about everybody that we're working with too. And then I want them to care about all the people that they're around.
Yeah. You know, we always want to remind coaches, and Jaden is an incredible young man, right? And this almost feels like the Jaden pod, right? He'll appreciate that later. You know, we always remind it. And part of the reason I'm excited that you continue pouring in, and that a lot of times we think, oh, he's a good kid, he doesn't need it. right? He's a good kid. He's a good kid. He doesn't need it. And I always want to remind coaches, like, good kids doesn't equate to good leadership. Like, good kids mean like good manners, right? Good grades. They're respectful. That's all cool. That's all positive. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have an ability to raise the level of the gym when they walk into it. It doesn't mean they have the ability to effectively communicate a form of accountability to a teammate. So even in the midst of good kids, we still have to keep developing them. But the positive is with good kids, they are more receptive and they usually can learn quicker and better because they're willing than maybe someone who's more challenging. So I love that you continue not just saying, oh, he's a good kid. Let me not try to be intentional there because he's already got it, right? He's better than most per se, but you got to keep pouring, you know, and I always tell coaches, those are the ones that are sometimes the most exciting because you can take someone who's good, right? Because they have a foundation through their family, their upbringing, things of that nature. That's when you can take them to another level and create a superstar of a person, of an athlete, things of that nature. But as you mentioned earlier, you know, you can only give so much. And I want to talk about your own personal approach to maintaining a level of consistency as a leader. As long as I've known you, it's been about 7 or 8 years now. Like every time I've interacted with you, I get the same Adam Harrington. Okay. I try to model that. I want people to interact with me. Every time you interact with me, I want you to know what you're going to get. Okay. Right. And I want to be that level of consistency. What do you do? How are you able in the midst of the grinds, the challenges, the struggles that are happening in life and in our world around us? How are you able to show up each and every day so money for the people you lead?
Yeah, I think, Adam, the big answer is I just love what I get to do. Like, I genuinely love it. And you know, my story, I guess it's now almost 11 years ago when I stopped playing. You know, I lost my sister. Like when I say my heart shifted, it legitly shifted. I just became consumed and obsessed with making a difference. And I took a year off from basketball and here we are 11 years later. You know, foundation has grown. I'm coaching at one of the highest levels you can coach at. But I just took this, I wanted to make more of a difference. And I think I've always had a high energy spirit, joking kind of mentality, but I am so grateful and thankful for the opportunity that I have. And I love people. Like there are some crazy people in this world and there's with everything we got going on in this world, but the world that I'm able to operate in the basketball world from young athletes to the top of the top, I just genuinely love it. I genuinely love seeing people be successful. It gives me goosebumps. And that success is both on and off the court. But, and then, you know, I'm quickly reminded I lost my best friend, you know, 11 years ago and my sister. So, you know, that energy, that spirit, you know, who knows how long we have, but I genuinely, when I walk on that basketball court or we're going to talk basketball on this podcast or whatever, like there is to me nothing greater than trying to make a difference in somebody's life. Mm.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Be crazy and set some wacky ambitions and dreams. Don't worry if your adventure, dreams, ambitions look totally different from others, even more crazy. One crazy one was set by Truett Cathy with his goal of being closed on Sundays, closing on the busiest day of the week in the restaurant business. He then called it his best business decision he ever made. That doesn't even make sense. Irrational. Yet he had purpose behind his adventure. He wanted people to get some guaranteed rest each week. He wanted to glorify God by giving his team time to worship if they chose on this day. He wanted to honor his life principle of a good name over great riches. Have fun thinking outside the box with purpose. Maybe thinking bigger than even achievable in this lifetime. It may be the best decision you ever make. Now, let's jump back to the episode.
You know, in your space that you operate in, that professional space specifically, is it rare to have people like you that are willing to like say you love them, right? And I say that because, like, you follow you on social, you know, the players you're close to, you like, you'll always say the Harringtons love you, right? And my guess is, like, that's stuff that's echoed in person as well. And I've joked with you before, you know, I've listened to podcasts where you're not on it, but yet your name gets brought up, right? I talked about JJ Redick one day being asked who was his favorite coach to play for, and he said you, even though you've never been as a his coach officially. Caris LeVert says, when you came into Brooklyn, like, what was your first impression? He said, Adam Harrington, like, just coming to me and all, like, there's a love from the players back to you that is different. Is it because you're willing to, like, embrace them and communicate things to them that maybe others aren't, like, that you love them? Like, that seems, like, tough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, like I said, I've mentioned earlier, I take my family with on the journey with me. So when we genuinely say Harringtons love you, Harringtons know exactly who I'm talking about and vice versa. And, you know, we wanted them on the journey with it. And, you know, I think it's obviously communicating feelings and genuine love is a hard thing to do, especially in this generation. It's much easier to grab a phone and text it, you know, and things like that. But being around it day to day. And like I said, I genuinely love helping people, you know, accomplish their goals. And, you know, I think one of the hardest things about, you know, doing it day to day and being, we talk about, to me, I want an athlete, whether they're in seventh grade or in the fifth year of the NBA, to be consistent. That's what, to me, what professionals are. So you know, to kind of answer the other question too, about bringing the same every single, there's days I'll walk in, I don't feel like I have it, but I'll quickly remind myself, this is who you are. This is what you do. You know, this is, and I think, I've always said when I meet a young, you know, rookie or anybody in the first time, you will get this. I promise you, you will get the same Adam Harrington every day. Now I'm asking you, it won't be perfect, but you, can you bring it every single day? Can you know what I mean? To me, that's what being a professional is. And I think the greatest of the great players can come in with the same mentality. It doesn't always go the same way, but the same approach, the same mentality, the same spirit. And it's not a perfect science. We all have our rough days, but I consistently remind myself. And then there's a lot of moments. I think one of, I'm sure you struggle with this too, Adam, is one of the hardest things in coaching and in life is when people don't react or respond the way you would. It's the hardest thing. And I will immediately catch myself wanting to either, because I'm a competitive former athlete, either slide them back or be like, oh, I'll show you. Or, you know, whether that's a simple thanks or whatever it is. But I constantly remind myself, wait a sec, this is you. This is what you do. Keep going on and on. So I think that's something that's given to my consistency, is that I constantly remind myself, even in the frustrating moments, because in this world of coaching, there's a lot of ups and downs, there's a lot of highs and lows, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of changing things, but just reminding myself to be consistent and that I genuinely love what I get to do and genuinely love the people that I'm around.
Mm. You know, does it change at all in an industry where there's so much turnover? Like, do you ever find yourself like, I just don't know if I want to invest that much love into a person where I don't know if they're going to be around for that much longer because there's so much turnover in the space that you operate in. You ever feel that, or screw it, if they're here today, I'm loving them all in.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'd be lying if you don't have those emotions, but I think I go to the option B you just mentioned and screw it, and I'm going to go into it. You know, because it is hard. I mean, there's, to be honest, I've shed a lot of tears with when players move on to other things. I'm not lying to you on this podcast that it's emotional and you're attached to your family and you enjoyed those moments. But you're also, there are tears of joy, exciting people reaching an even better experience, reaching even a bigger contract and a better situation for their family, whatever it is. So that's exciting as well.
So I do want to ask you to elaborate a little bit. You touched on it briefly, but I think this helps your consistency. And it's a quote that I think about all the time, that you bring up all the time. Those that are planted will flourish, right? You phrase that a lot and you talk about that. Can you just elaborate to those listening at a high level, like what that means? Because, like I said, you reference it all the time, to those who are planted will flourish. Yeah. And I think it plays a huge role in who you are as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's be committed. So I believe, like, I've always used that phrase even when I trained. I think the feet are the most important thing on the basketball court, your footwork, your balance. It's the first thing that happens is your feet hit the hardwood. So being planted and literally letting things flow, like God's creativity flow out of your fingertips on the basketball court. But I believe that's in anything, being rooted, being planted, being committed, being consistent, you will flourish, you know. And I think it's really hard in this day and age for people to be committed long term, to, you know, to be rooted in a specific situation. And I found that even through my playing career and things like that, just kind of bouncing around or whatever. But having been rooted now almost 6 years in Brooklyn, like you're starting, I feel like I'm starting to even grow even more and more excited. So that's kind of where it all kind of encompasses, is just being planted, being rooted.
And I think it's inspired the logo of the clubhouse too. Is that correct?
It is. It is.
I see it. I see it all coming together. All right. Hey, so let me just touch on a couple quick ones. And then I want to spend the last few minutes talking about your foundation and the event coming on. But I was going through some tweets yesterday, Adam, and like, man, tweets never go away. They never go away, Adam. And a couple years ago, you did this fun little like 10 random thoughts that you had, or kind of reflections on some old things. And I just want to touch on a couple of them. They were pretty cool. They were about your playing career and different experiences and takeaways. And I want to just get your quick perspective on a couple of them. You said in number 4 of those points, you talked about in 02, you playing in the summer league with the Cavs. You were the shooting guard playing the 2, but you moved over to point guard for a young DeJuan Wagner, who was a scorer. Keep in mind, you're a scorer, right? Like, you are a scorer. You were basketball player of the year in the state of Massachusetts, right, man? You are a shooter. Someone like you, how do you embrace that role in the moment like that to switch positions for someone who they may think is better?
Yeah, well, obviously, DeJuan Wagner was a top pick for the Cavs that year, so I was losing out on that. But DeJuan was a phenomenal player. But to be honest, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. One benefit I think I had in making the NBA and playing basketball at a high level, wherever I played, was I knew the game. I knew how to play any position. So I was very fortunate in high school that I played the point guard to whatever position the coach wanted me to play. But I understood how to play to immediately go over into that role. And say, oh, hey, I'll be the point guard. I want to be on the floor. I know how to run this, you know, offense, and I can add value in any way. And I think that was really important for me. And to be honest, my best game in that summer league was against Dallas Mavericks. And I ended up going to camp with Dallas and making it. Little did I know in that moment, at that, and then Dallas ended up bringing me on as like a third, fourth kind of point guard with that team, because they saw me play that role in summer league. So rather than fighting it, being like, oh man, I can score and go out. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're competitive, but at the same time, this was an opportunity, for me to flourish but I'm very fortunate that, and thankful that I knew how to play the game at all different positions.
So you talked about Coach Nelly with the Mavs going off on you one day, for shooting a long 2-foot on the line. Did that like leave such a lasting impression that even still today, you like, you hate that shot?
No, I mean, I'm not on the totally hate the mid-range shot, but it always just stuck with me. You know, Nelly was kind of ahead of our time. We all play fast now. We all shoot threes. And Nelly was one of those ones that, you know, brought that to Dallas early, you know, and then Phoenix took it to another level with D'Antoni and Nash. But I just always remember, you know, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't within 2 feet of that 3-point line from that moment on. I was shooting deep. It was funny the way he delivered it, you know, like it was, you know, in a Nelly way, but I was like, oh, I'll never forget that. Don't worry. That won't ever happen again. I'll never shoot with my foot on the 3-point line.
You talked about player development coach Rolando Blackman kind of instilling in you this shark mode of attacking, right? Like, that stuck with you. Is that language you by chance use still today?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many players. I mean, you obviously have your top guys and your guys that will start or whatever. And there's so many guys coming. I just remember him saying, you know, hey, you're not going to start. You might not play until the third or fourth quarter. You need to be like a shark ready to attack the moment you get in. Cause that was my game. That would have been my game, the last 2 minutes of the game or this little spot moment. And I know, and there's so many people that the moment you get in there, you're all stiff and you're running up the court. And sure enough, you get a wide open corner three. And you're short or whatever, you're just not ready for it. He wanted this mentality of like, you are ready at all times. So the moment I walked into my workout with him early in the morning, I had to lock in and make a certain amount in a row, whatever he chose, 6 in a row from this spot. But just this mentality of, you don't have time to warm up. You don't have time to get ready. You got to be locked in the moment you step on this court. And, we use it with a lot of our players. And then a lot of coaches have the, you know, legendary Chip England. That was one of his things with Steve Kerr. And obviously we're, you know, I'm doing the same with Jaden now and with the kids that work out at the clubhouse.
You know, last question on this list of 10, you, number 10, you talked about incredible teammates throughout the years, but Steve Nash still kind of is the number one teammate there. And you talked about him taking you under his wing there to kind of mentor you in life and in hoops. Just out of curiosity, because I don't think young people do a great job mentoring, right? I don't think they think they're mentally equipped. I don't think they think the other person will be receptive enough. I don't think that even if they're filled with experiences and good, valuable things that they've learned, I still don't think they share that well. They often keep it to themselves rather than helping. What is a mentorship? What does it look like when a veteran like that takes a guy like you under his wing in that moment? What are they doing? How intentional are they? How does that interaction look?
I mean, when I was a rookie, Steve let me into his life. I mean, that's really what it came down to, is he literally put his arm around me and said, hey, you know, you're following me. We'll work out here. We'll work out this. We'll do this. You're going to eat this. You're going to get this cold tub. You know, you're going to hang out with me here. You're going to watch the game. Like, and obviously, being around him and Dirk and the players that we had there, Michael Finley, Nick Van Exel, was just unbelievable. I was a rookie filled with incredible vets that had already had great careers. I was just so thankful. Like, at the end of the day, it's being able to do life with somebody, you know. And then when my coaching career started, that was Scotty Brooks in Oklahoma City. Same thing, put his arm around me and said, hey, you're going to be in every meeting. You're going to have this part of practice. And I've always brought it back to my, you know, the three E's, where you get somebody that'll educate you, empower you to see you be successful on your own or make a mistake, and then encourage the heck out of you. So, I've been very fortunate to have, you know, both in my playing and my NBA career was not long at all, but the things that I learned from Steve stuck with me for the longest time. And they're even with me now when I'm, you know, as a coach. And then, you know, what Scotty did for me, you know, years ago in Oklahoma City, I'll never forget that.
For any Hardwood Hustle listeners that just heard what he said, educate, empower, encourage, right? Adam Harrington created that tagline for the Hardwood Hustle. Just a little side note for anyone who caught the connection there. Well, listen, you know, as we finish up here, you know, coming up here next week, actually, at the time of this recording, it'll be next week, September 22nd, I believe is the date. You're hosting a really dynamic and certainly your biggest event, it appears, right, for your foundation. You've held golf tournaments over the years and done various things, but this one's certainly on another level. I'm bummed that I won't be able to make it. I'll be out of town. But let's talk about the foundation, okay? You mentioned a couple times about your sister, losing your sister 11 years ago, and that is who the foundation is for. Give a little overview on the foundation and what's coming up in the upcoming event and what people can do to help support it if they feel inspired to do it.
Yeah, we're obviously really excited. The foundation's been in existence since 2010. We've obviously run several events and give backs and tournaments up in the New England area. And, you know, now I'm going into year six, living in the tri-state area in New Jersey, and just it's home now. And I'm excited to bring, you know, the event there to our home now. And more importantly, give back to the surrounding communities in that area in both New York and New Jersey immediately. But yeah, this event is something I've been dreaming about. You know, the JEH Memorial Fund is our slogan is chase your dreams. And I have dreamed about doing this panel with some of the world's top athletes for a long time. And I just envisioned people like me, young dads and aspiring coaches, and obviously people in the community with their families to sit in the audience and listen to some of these athletes from all different sports and hear what made them chase their dreams. What do they remember? Who do they remember? What advice would they give themselves, you know, back then and things like that. So just really excited. It's obviously a sneaker soiree. You're going to come dressed in your cocktail attire, but wear your freshest sneakers, silent auction, all that stuff. We have a bunch of game stations. And then the highlight of the night during dinner is the Chase Your Dreams panel. And Ryan Rucco from ESPN is going to host it and MC it. But, just excited. Then earlier in the day, we have a very intimate golf setting, you know, where Jason Duffner and several other celebrities are going to, you know, take part in a clinic and then play a round of golf. And so we're excited for that. But the main event is at night. It's that Chase Your Dreams panel. And we're excited. We're already, we'll break ground several weeks after at a new court and playground in Orange, New Jersey. And then we're working on a location in Brooklyn as well for this fall. So just very exciting times for the foundation and my family, but I'm just excited to share it with everybody in that area.
And Phil, anyone who isn't aware, JH Memorial, like who that's for, and then Chase Your Dreams, the connection with that.
Yeah. So, you know, my sister Jill was 33. She passed away from stage 4 undiagnosed colon cancer. She was 8.5 months pregnant as well. And we lost a baby boy, and they tried to save him at the end, but his name was Chase. So we kind of adapted this Chase Your Dreams kind of slogan. And really just to play off what I remember my sister kind of doing for me as I chased my dreams of making it to the NBA. And a lot of times that's just someone being there. Sometimes that's financial stuff. Sometimes that's providing a place for them to be. So we wanted to do that for other people. And the real vision behind it is how can we create these goosebumps moments for so many other kids? You know, the moments that, you know, we've all been there where something's created for you, or you get an experience, or you meet somebody, or you're able to compete in something. And you get these goosebump feelings saying you can do it. And, you know, on top of that, we basketball is a huge part of our family. It always has been. And so rebuilding courts and playgrounds around the country is something we're very excited about.
And if you follow any of the Lead 'Em Up social pages and via email, we'll be talking about it all week to help try to raise awareness and increase some donations on that. And, you know, Adam, listen, as we wrap up here, you know, I feel like I should get a little say on your sneaker selection, because I've seen some of your sneakers, bro. Like some of them, right? Like some are a little loud, a little bit, I don't know, suspect.
I know. Hey, I'm a size 12 or 13. You can send me whatever you want me to wear. Hey,
I'm sure you've got plenty of connections on sneakers, bro. Well, listen, have fun, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking some time. I know you've got a busy schedule. So, you know, as always, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your leadership and your mentorship, even from a distance on my life. So best of luck to you, man. We'll be talking soon.
You got it. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.